You're listening to Harris Smith Radio. Hey there, I'm your host, Wayne McPhail. This episode is all about roles and labels, the changing role of women in agriculture, that is, and honey labels. To help me do that, this time out, I speak with Iris Meck, the force behind the Advancing Women in Agriculture Conference, and then I chat with Guy Chartier of Be Made Honey, and he helps me decode the honey jar labels. That sounds simple, right? Wrong. You'll see. By the way, if you want to read Harris Smith Magazine instead of listen to it, you can subscribe to the print version online at harrismithmag.com, and you can find Harris Smith Magazine on selected newsstands across Canada. But for now, settle in for the next half hour of Harris Smith Radio. Since 2014, the Advancing Women in Agriculture Conference has brought together women from across Canada to share, learn, and grow as farmers, producers, and entrepreneurs. Over the years, it's seen attendees and the agricultural sector itself change dramatically and for the better. Part of the change is due to the conference itself. I had a chance to speak with the conference organizer, Iris Meck, about the morphing landscape and the challenges of leaning in a sector that's still steeped in isolation. So thank you very much for joining us, Iris. Tell me a little bit about the conference.
Well, the Advancing Women in Agriculture Conference started back in 2014 when I gathered a group of women leaders in agriculture in Canada, brought them together to discuss some of the opportunities and challenges that women face in this industry, and discuss the topics of skills and tools that they would need to hone their leadership skills and be more recognized and appreciated for the contribution that they make in the ag sector.
And when you define ag sector, tell me what you think that encompasses.
We're including all of the women who are farmers, ranchers, women that are entrepreneurs in the ag sector, greenhouse operators, food producers, food processors, women that belong to grower associations, and all of corporate agribusiness.
And do you have a sense of what kind of numbers we're seeing in terms of percentage of male, female in each of those sectors?
In each of the sectors, I wouldn't have the exact numbers, but we know that in 2016, the Consensus of Agriculture named that the number of female farmers in Canada rose by 1.8% since 2011 to 28.7%, which is over 77,000 women in agriculture. So I think they were talking about farmers, but to know how many women are in the industry, there's many. Many women are involved in the agricultural sector.
So that's a really incredible increase. What sparked that increase?
Well, I think women are definitely educated and have the capability of working on a farm in a way that is smart, sustainable, and know how to manage risk. Their impact of their education is leading them to take on a farm operation, and they're no longer just the business bookkeepers or looking after the family and feeding the meals, but they are taking part in the operation. And so I think it's by overcoming some of the big obstacles that were out there and taking the horse by the reins and starting to do business on their own.
So let's talk about taking the horse by the reins, because that's very much of a leadership thing, and I also want to come back and talk about the obstacles as well. But your conference is very focused on leadership. How do you define leadership in terms of what you're trying to instill in women that are coming into the sector or have been in the sector for a while and want to feel more comfortable with being a leader?
Well, I think that women just need to step up to the plate and to pull the chair up beside them for other women. And all of those types of things need good leadership skills. So we created the program that emphasizes the key leadership skills and development opportunities that include things like communications, whether you understand that to be in day-to-day communications, mentorship, coaching, networking, advocacy, which is very important in the industry, financial management and independence. And I add independence because I don't think a woman is successful unless she has her own financial independence. Health and balance of life strategies, health both mental and physical, to be able to look after themselves and their families, and to be able to strike some sort of balance that they not only are committed to their jobs and careers, but also can take on some of the activities that they love to do and probably should be doing. And we talk about career planning and setting goals in all of these areas, and that's what I think leadership components are made out of.
Now, that what you just described could describe a variety of sectors. It doesn't necessarily pertain to agriculture. How do you sort of spin this or see this, I guess, as different for women that are stepping into this particular sector?
You're absolutely right. This is not different than leadership in any other sector. However, there's one thing that's a bit more of a challenge in the agricultural sector is that it is very male-dominated, and many other industries are. But there's also the obstacle of isolation. Of course, farmers are all in the rural areas. Women and men that work in the agricultural sector are in rural areas. And that leads to a bit of isolation where you just feel cut off from your neighbors, your community, the rest of the area around you. And that's the biggest difference.
Right. So it's hard to lean in if there's nobody to lean in with, right?
Well, that's so true. That's so true. It's really difficult, but it's getting better with social media. You know, a lot of women are going on to social media now to read stories of other women and connect with other women. A lot of networks are being formed across Canada of women's groups, both on a urban and rural basis. And conferences are becoming more popular throughout Canada, in each province holding some sort of women's conference where women can get together.
So I want to come back to the idea that you talked about it being a male-dominated field. And, you know, my impression is that it's not only a male-dominated field, but in some ways, and in some parts of the countries, that it's very much of a old-school male-dominated field. That it feels like, in some cases, that women are going to run into attitudes that in other business sectors have, to some extent anyway, not completely, of course, been advanced a little bit, right?
Well, I think we have to challenge the structures that have existed and in some cases exist today that have been proven to be a disadvantage for women in agriculture. For example, sales representatives may come up to a farmyard and the female will be in the yard and the representative may say, "Could I speak to your husband about this issue?" Instead of asking, "Who's the best person to talk about this issue?"
And I just want to stop there for a sec, because that's really interesting. That harkens to what I was just saying, that I think that you would agree that in other sectors, that salesperson wouldn't get away with that these days, right?
I would hope not. But we hear throughout the conferences that we hold that still happens at time to time, from place to place, farmer to farmer. And it is one thing that is really unfortunate. And I think that's why we have to challenge the structures that are in place and set women up for success.
So what other kinds of systemic problems are women facing in the agriculture community because of the male domination?
Well, I think part of it is all of the structure that's been there. When you talk about purchasing equipment, purchasing farm supplies, going to the bank to do your finances, those duties have usually been carried on in the past by the men in the operation. And now more women are, with their education and becoming more involved in the farming operation, are taking that step to be part of that decision making. And I think that that's going to change as we go further along and women are recognized for their contribution and for the role that they play in agriculture.
Are women that are coming to the conference still expressing concern about difficulty with things like getting a bank loan to start a business, for example?
That topic has come up a lot, and that is why we are so fortunate to have the financial institutions all involved in the Advancing Women's Program, because they see a need to be able to communicate to women better. There's no shortage of women in the financial institutions and legal organizations where you can have a good audience with women operators. So I think everyone's recognizing it. It's just a slow train to get moving. And that's why we approach at the conference, at Advancing Women, talk about financial management. We talk about your independence in financial management. We talk about how to structure your savings and your finances in regards to registered retirement savings plans and things along that nature. We also talk about succession planning. All these young women that are coming out of university, when you look at 62% of the women that are stepping over the threshold from university into the industry, they're women coming out and looking for a position. These women are going to go into managerial positions, either back on the farm or into the agricultural community. There is going to be a total rise, I think, of women involved in agriculture, and that will change the structure.
I want to talk a little bit about the change of structure of the farm. You said you're going to go back to the farm. I mean, as opposed to 20 years ago, even maybe 10 years ago in some communities, the notion of what a farm is, as a, you know, in the past it might have been a farmhouse with, you know, 10 acres or 100 acres of land around it that the farmer family owned. These days, it's a saying, talking about a farm is a very different kind of thing in some cases. Can you talk a bit about that changing nature and the family dynamic that comes into play there?
Well, definitely. The farming industry has changed very much over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And I think a good way of looking at it is that there are more opportunities and challenges for women in primary agriculture who are doing things beyond the traditional keeping of the books and feeding the family. We're looking at ways to, and women are looking at ways to grow the farm, to become more smart, sustainable, manage the risks better. They're looking at the financial opportunities, and they're looking at new opportunities while figuring out how to oversee and manage their farm. They're looking at doing it in a sustainable and profitable way. I think there's nothing but growth and opportunity there that's much different than there was in years past.
I want to still touch on the family for a bit here, that because one of the interesting paradoxes that I think women face in terms of role is that the role of woman as nurturer of a family is one of the things that is causing salespeople to say, hey, little lady, can I talk to your husband, right? But the flip of that is, in fact, that that has been a role for women. And so I want to use that as a stepping off point to talk about health, because when I think when you're talking about women and health, particularly in agriculture communities, women aren't only concerned with their own health, and I want to touch on that too, but also with the family health, right? It's they're the holder of, they're the nurturer role, right?
Absolutely. When you look at the role that women have played in the agricultural sector, particularly to farming, females have been farming partners for as long as there has been farms and as long as farms have existed. They just rarely get identified. So often the female in the farming operation becomes invisible because of her contribution can't be measured. We can't measure the value of her looking after the family, making sure the kids are dressed, fed, and involved in activities, making sure that the mental health of the family is good and sound. Those are all things that can't be measured. So I think that in the past, that has never been something that we've looked at and said, this is really important in the agricultural sector, really important in the community, really important in the farm operation. It was just a given and therefore perhaps a little bit invisible. And now I think that that role is changing. It's becoming more important, especially today when stress is on everybody's mind. There's so many things to do. There's a lot on everybody's plate. And therefore, I think it's most important for females to take care of their health, and they should do that first, because without their health, they can't properly look after their family's health. So we really stress that for mental and physical health, that is number one for producers. that they should look after themselves and be able to take the time and do the things that are going to bring them a little bit of peace of mind, some exercise, eating well, and maintaining a good self-health strategy. Yeah.
It's sort of like the airline warning of put your own mask on first, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. If you're not breathing the oxygen in, you're not going to be able to help the next person. So that's what we try to do. And that's why Advancing Women, I think, is so successful, because it gives the women that attend a chance to recharge, refocus, re-energize themselves. They're meeting women that are all passionate about the same industry that they are. They're all passionate about the same facets of the industry. So when they come into Advancing Women, they have what they call, sometimes they call themselves, this is my tribe, this is my community, where you don't have to explain what you do. People already understand where you're coming from. And this is a tremendous way to be motivated and inspired and just building your network so that you can go home and be able to carry on that relationship and come back year after year, conference after conference, and continue to build that relationship.
I want to talk a little bit about the conference and the kinds of folks that are coming. You know, we talked a lot about families, of women in families, but there are other groups that would be involved in the industry. And I'm thinking of things like co-ops or people who are going out on their own, just a solo career in agriculture, same-sex couples. What are you seeing in terms of a mix of folks that are coming to the conference and so are representing women in agriculture broadly across Canada?
Our audience consists of anywhere from 400 plus to 600. And we usually have representation at each conference, the West and the East, from women across the sector, farmers, ranchers, entrepreneurs, grower association representatives, corporate agribusiness. And just in the last few years, we've added a university and college student part, where we now have up to 38 students that are sponsored every conference to attend the conference and be able to start building that network and learning these skills that aren't particularly taught in the universities and colleges right now. Most of it is production. So they have a great opportunity here to step up to the plate, get ready to cross that threshold. And we're seeing a lot of younger women come into play at the conference, women that are interested in the transition of the farm with the family succession plan. So they're preparing for taking their university, going back to the farm, and taking over the farm in step. So we see a lot more younger women coming to the plate. And the best part about the conference is when we see three or four generations come to the conference. We've got women with young babies in arms, a little bit too young to learn about leadership, but we certainly have grandmothers, mothers, and daughters, and nieces coming to the conference and making it a family affair, which really builds on their relationship and allows them to talk about these things later and after the conference and keep that motivation and inspiration going. So we're delighted to have all the generations attend, and we're seeing a good change in diversity. There's women that are coming from all walks and cultures to the conference, and we welcome everybody to attend.
So let's talk about the baby that's maybe too young to learn about leadership. How do you imagine that when they are old enough to talk about leadership in, you know, maybe 10 years, 15 years, how do you think the agricultural industry is going to change for them over that period?
I think it'll be very different in 10 years' time from where it is today. It's taken a long time for us to get to this point, but even through the Advancing Women's Conference, I think we've been able to move that needle, to just have everyone recognize women and the role that they play and the contribution that they make to the industry. Over the last 6 years, we've seen a lot more publications feature stories about women that run their own operation, women that share in an operation. For a time, you saw a lot of advertisements in the last 4 years where organizations have used women in their graphics to promote their products and services. So I think that we're seeing that needle move, more people and organizations are building their strategies and policies for inclusion and diversity. And I think we're going to see nothing but a little bit more rapid change than perhaps what I've seen in the last 6 years since we started Advancing Women and in my career since 1979.
Well, thank you very much for doing the conference, and thanks for leaning in with us today to talk about it.
Well, thank you very much for your interest, and I invite every woman in agriculture to attend AWC.
That was Iris Meck, who spoke to me from Calgary, where the prairies are wide and the women are wise, and not the other way around. Buying something as natural as honey should be an easy consumer choice, but these days honey labeling makes that choice more complex. Does Canada's favorite mean it's Canadian honey? Does Canada number one? And what does graded in Canada mean? To help sort it all out, I spoke with
Guy Chartier, Chief Executive Officer with Be Made Honey.
Here's that conversation.
Guy, thanks very much for joining us. I wanted to talk about something that seems like it should be pretty simple, but it turns out to be kind of complicated. So if I want to go into a grocery store and buy some honey, I should be able to go up on a shelf and pick out the honey. But when I pick up a jar of honey and look at the label, it starts getting confusing. There's Canada grade A number one, grade A number one, number one white. It's a product of Canada. Is that really honey coming from Canada? Can we sort of go through all that and sort of decode that so people actually understand what the label is saying about the honey?
Sure. I think for the most part, what consumers should really look for is a product of Canada. And that really tells you where the product comes from. By law, anybody that packs honey in Canada has to declare where the honey comes from. So if you see product of Argentina or Canada or so on, then it basically tells where the honey's from. So that's really key is what to look for. I think what's been confusing the consumer is that the honey grade in Canada will always say Canada number one white or Canada number one, let's say golden or amber. And that really is about the color of the honey, and it talks about that the honey's grade in Canada, but it doesn't specifically mean that honey is Canadian honey. So this is where there's some confusion when it comes with the consumers. And so what we're seeing now is there's product coming to the Canada, and some of them will say Canada number one on the front, and that is what's deceiving the consumer. Now, supposedly with the Safe Food for Canadian Act coming into play, those regulations are supposed to change, and we certainly hope that will happen. And basically, as we're seeing it now, it looks like what will happen is if your product is truly a Canadian honey from Canada, you'll be able to grade it as or mark it as Canada number one grade. But if it's from another country, you'll only be able to use the grade and the color. You won't be able to use the word Canada. And we think that's going to go a long way in helping the consumer to decipher between honey that is truly Canadian and honey from other countries.
So what's so great about Canadian honey? Like, why does it matter that the honey is from Canada as opposed to Argentina or China or Vietnam or wherever else?
Well, there's a few good reasons why consumers do want to look for a product of Canada. Number one is, like any other product, we know that if it is truly a product that's here from Canada, we know that it's typically a safer product because of the standards that we have here in Canada. Versus product that may come from other countries such as China, for example. You know, they don't always have the best of a reputation. So, and more specifically in honey, the issue is that some of the honey that can come out of some Asian countries and so on may possibly be a blend of honey that's blended with a syrup. So really it's not 100% pure honey. When a consumer buys Canadian honey, they're assured that honey will be a pure product because of the high regulations we have here in Canada. And I think that the second important reason is that obviously here as Canadians, we do want to support our growers, our producers in Canada. So, you know, we're doing, I think we're doing the right thing when we look for Product Canada in order to support our Canadian beekeepers here in Canada. It's important because obviously in supporting them, not only does it support the production of honey, but also supports pollination here in Canada that the beekeepers obviously do with their bees all summer long, all across the country here.
So what are the regulations like in the U.S.? Because that's another place that honey can come from. Are they on par with Canada in terms of quality assurance?
Yes, absolutely. The U.S. would be on par. The big difference in the United States, though, is that the United States produce a lot less honey than they consume. So they're an importing honey country, so they import a lot of honey from other countries. In Canada here, we produce more than we consume. Therefore, we are an exporting honey country, so we export a lot of our honey. So I'd say that the big difference here is, number one, is that you don't see a lot of American honey, if you will, coming to Canada. And the reason for that is because they just don't have the excess supply to export into other countries. But for overall, I mean, if you were to see product of USA coming to Canada, I'm sure it would be a very legitimate, good product to consume.
Okay, so but the main takeaway is you should be looking for product of Canada on the label and maybe even looking on the back of the jar in the small print to see if there's any indication of it coming from other countries as well. Is that sort of the main guideline you're offering?
That's right. If it does come from another country legally, any packer has to declare that the honey comes from what country the honey actually comes from. So absolutely, and it's always, not always, as you said, not always located on the front on the label, but it's important to read the whole label, read the back, look for Product of Canada. And if it truly says and exclusively says Product of Canada, then you know you're sure that you're getting honey that is truly Canadian and you're supporting the beekeeping industry in Canada. So that's not just a bad thing.
Great. Okay, well, thank you for making that as clear as Canadian honey for us.
That was Guy Chartier of Bee Made Honey. So, here we are at the end of this episode of Harris Smith Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please consider subscribing to this podcast on Apple iTunes or in your favorite podcast player. And please, tell your friends and family. Got feedback? We'd love to hear it. You can email us at letters@harrismithmag.com. That URL, harrismithmag.com, is also where you can order subscriptions online. And you can find Harris Smith Magazine on selected newsstands across Canada. Until next time, for Harris Smith Radio, I'm Wayne McPhail. And also, until next time, remember these four words: make, grow, sustain, share. Tune in for the next episode of Harris Smith Radio.